So we are starting this new one today. And the summer series that I'm going to say usually doesn't get a lot of woohoos because it's like we're talking about, it's just calling it 10, it's God's non-negotiable commandments. So there we go. We got a woohoo out of that. But in the midst of it, so we are going to talk about the Ten Commandments, and there is a point of reference there that two generations have. One, some of you guys remember Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments, all right? How many of you, that's your point of reference? That movie came out in the 50s. So if that's your, and you were, if you were there when it came out in theaters, let me just say, you're older than me. Okay, I'm not going to say anything else about that. Some of you guys remember The Prince of Egypt by DreamWorks, right? How do you guys realize that in 3 years, that movie will be 30 years old? How many of you feel even older today? It's like it came out, I think, in 97, and it's like, what in the world happened? You know, I went to sleep, and all of a sudden, I'm getting older. So it just happens. Anyway, the point of this, the reference there, whatever it is, this series, that you would learn more about God and His plan for your life. How many of you realize God actually has a plan? So this series on God's 10 non-negotiables are very important. But I wanted to give you another top 10 today, just because it is Father's Day. And I went on Tuesday when I was getting this message ready, I just went on Amazon and found the top 10 Father's Day gifts that were there. And how many of you know it changes all the time? You know, whatever's being sold. People that buy a little bit earlier, I have no idea what it was at the day before, but I'm going to give you the top 10. Number 9 was the wood phone docking station, ash key holder, wallet, stand, organizer for men. So, man, how many of you guys would love to have something like that, right? That was there. So there's a few hands. That was number 10. Number 9, and it had some cool quotes in this book, Why a Sunny, I know. Oh, isn't that cool? That was number 9. So, I mean, I guarantee this was not boys buying this from their dad. It's daughters, right? So, number 8 was the Mokushi Shiatsu back massager neck. I actually have one of those things. So how many of you guys, that's because dads get stressed out, right? So that was number 8. Number 7, the sand. Oh, I didn't. I covered it up right here and then I resized it anyway. Move it off of that one right there. If you guys remember last week, Tim was talking that there's analog and there's digital. That's analog right there. So that's number 7, number 6 right there. I feel like I'm getting flush here. So number 6, those of you there online, you missed that one. Bummer for you. But anyway, nut cravings. I actually have given my dad something similar to that. But what cracks me up, this was the description. The gourmet collection Father's Day mix nuts with a green ribbon. Wow. Doesn't that make it right there? It's like, oh my gosh, if green ribbon, I want that one. So number 5, another massager. I'm like, dads are worked up, right? You guys need some massaging there. Number 4 is the classic mug. I'm not old. I'm classic. Come on. How many of you men? Bob, are you classic? That's classic. Exactly. So number 3 was the Old Lives Matter. And I put soda can cooler in there in case you're thinking it's something else. So and number 2, I did not pick this, so don't throw anything at me, but I thought it was pretty funny, the Trump mug. And it says, probably the best ever. Believe me, no one knows dads like I do. To say there's a better dad is fake news. You are a great, so great, very special. So that's a word from you. That was the number 2 Father's Day gift on Tuesday. Number 1, obviously, girls love their dads, right? Awesome, like my daughter. So that was number 1 on Tuesday. I just thought that was funny list to go over, and it actually became funnier than I planned. So hallelujah. I'm going to attempt to rein this in. Let's get back into that. God's non-negotiable. Here's the thing. If it's non-negotiable, how many of you know it's not up for vote? Right? God's not like taking a public opinion poll to see what you think are the top, you know, if these are, I'll believe number two, number three, number eight. No, you can't pick and choose. It's not a consensus. This is God. So we're going to take the next 10 weeks and we're going to cover all of these commandments. And the reason I think this is important, because most Christians don't even know all 10 commandments. And you're like, wait a minute, doesn't everybody know that? They did a survey. 14% of American Christians know the Ten Commandments by heart. 14%. So that would be, I don't know what that would be in this crowd right here, but if you know all ten of them by heart, raise your hand without looking at your Bible. All right, I see one, two, three. I see three hands, right? How many of you know that's a problem, right? That's, if you don't know them, it's hard to follow them, isn't it? It's kind of like you pass the speed limit sign. If you didn't see it, you can't follow it, and you won't know how to live by them. Now, that another interesting fact, 14% know the Ten Commandments. Do you realize that 25% of people know all seven ingredients to the Big Mac? Some of you guys are going to start having that song go through your head in a second, aren't you? How many of you know, maybe we got our priorities, and I don't say that to shame anybody, but this summer series, we want to look through each commandment, and I want you to understand how relevant it really is for your life, how it really applies. So I'm going to give you the background. I'm not going to play the movies or anything like that, but I think most of us understand when the Ten Commandments were given, the Israelites had just come out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And 400 years, that's a long time. How many of you know that totally changes a mindset of people that lived in slavery for 400 years? And so God is pulling them out. He raised up a deliverer, Moses, went to Pharaoh. And I'm going to see if you guys remember, what did he say to Pharaoh? Let my See, you guys know that. After 10 convincing plagues, let me just put it that way, Pharaoh finally let them go. They made their way through the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted. Now they're in the wilderness, and God is creating a people that are going to love him, that are going to serve him, and eventually become a light to the entire world, because that was the promise given to Abraham. He goes, I'm going to make you a blessing to all nations. And so slavery happened. God is reining them in. We know ultimately that happened when Jesus came through the Jewish line and has become a blessing to all nations. Amen. And but God is creating these people, a covenant people, but he realized they're coming out of slavery. They need some guidelines to live by. There's some situations. They needed to be different than every other nation that was there. So God sent Moses up to Mount Sinai. God gave him the Ten Commandments, wrote them on the tablets. How many of you know he did that twice? All right, because he came down, they were worshiping an idol. We'll talk about that in a minute. He threw him down, went back and had to rewrite. Like, God, can I get another copy of that? I broke the first ones, but here's the point. The Ten Commandments, I believe, are so crucial to everything we do as followers of Christ. More than we even realize it. Do you realize the Ten Commandments are the moral code on which Western society was built? Right, like, have you ever wondered why is it that the world, non-believers, are trying to get King Mammoths out of schools, out of courthouses, all of that? Is because they don't like the standard that is set there, although our foundation is that in our life. And I was reading this stat that mankind has created over 32 billion laws over time. Over, I don't know how much time, but how many of you know none of them compare in weight and significance as these 10? None of them. They come, at, I believe, stem out of that. So as we read it, I'm going to read through this. Well, should I not? I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to give it to you. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. We're going to get through it, so I'm going to skip through that, that, and that, and we're going to get to the next one. So, oh, there we go, and right there. I want to give you today three important facts about the Ten Commandments. Number one, obviously, is up here. The commandments are from God. How many of you know the church didn't make up the commandments? Hey, listen, what can we do? What kind of rules can we establish? Not a denomination. You realize the commandments were not even Moses' idea. He didn't come up with it. The scripture says, Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spoke those words. These were all God's idea. So what God is it that spoke the words? He goes on to identify this in verse 2. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of a land of slavery. So he's identifying, because they came out of a very polygamous society, or polytheistic society. Who knows? Maybe they had polygamy going on too. But anyway, very polytheistic society. And he's saying, listen, I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one that brought you out. And how many of you know that's the same God we serve today? He's the one that has delivered you and I out of a land of slavery, bondage to sin, bondage to self, and has set us free. And he implemented those laws. And even the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, anybody ever read Ecclesiastes? That's an interesting book, isn't it? You kind of get down eventually, pursue happiness in pleasure, pursue happiness in building, pursue happiness in work. And what does he say? All of it is what? Meaningless, right? What are we chasing after all this stuff? But at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, after basically saying everything in life is meaningless, he does say this in verse 12, now that all has been heard, after he just went on his rant about everything being meaningless, he says, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He just summed it up. Like, if you will, you know, the fear there is a reverence from God. If you don't know God, then there better be a different kind of fear, because one day you'll stand before him. But he's saying, listen, fear God, keep his commandments. That's it. If we can understand that, then you're going to stay on track. So number one, the commandments are from God. Secondly, the commandments are relevant today. Amen? Even though they're 3,500 plus years old, I want to tell you that they are just as crucial and just as relevant today as they were, and they're not to be removed from our life as some Old Testament idea. Oh man, that's so Old Testament, right? You hear that? Like, oh, that's so 80s or whatever. No, it's just because it's Old Testament doesn't, how many of you know, truth doesn't change just because time changes, right? Just because culture changes. The purpose of the commandments are to be read and to figure out, how do I apply this to my life? How does it even work in my life? You see, the commandments are not just written in a Bible. They're not just in the Jewish Torah. They're not just stone tablets they brought down. Do you realize that God created us and he imprinted his the law in our heart? All right? Look at what the scripture says in Romans 2. Paul says this, even Gentiles, those that aren't Jews, basically, who do not have God's written law, show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without ever hearing it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their heart, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. Amen. How many of you realize that means no matter what, where you are, no matter what culture, there is a sense of what's right and wrong. You can go into the deepest tribes wherever, and they have a sense of right and wrong, even though nobody's ever told them. Now, the reality is that we can callous over the things that are right and wrong by choosing to disobey God, by choosing to go the other direction. And what happens is that our heart eventually starts getting hard to the things of God. That's why it says in Ezekiel that God says, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, because we get hard to those things. But the reality, they're there. They're there, and they're relevant for today. I heard it said like this, that the Ten Commandments, they're not obsolete, but they are absolute. Amen? Does that make sense? They're not like, oh, it's just so old. No, it still applies to us today. And as we go through this series, you'll see, number three, about this, the commandments are crucial for a blessed relationships, right? Our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. Let me just say, not everybody always raises their hand, so I want to encourage you to do it at this moment, because if you don't, you'll be embarrassed. But how many of you guys want to have a blessed relationship with God? Amen? How many of you want to have a blessed relationship with other people? Amen? So how many, okay, how about everybody's hands down? How many of you do not want a blessed relationship in either area? Right, good. Nobody's hands up. So that's a good thing. We want those relationships to be blessed, but if we do so, we need to understand that these commandments are crucial in our life. If we're going to have a blessed life, we got to follow God's plan. And I've heard this said many times. Maybe you can help me finish it. Christianity is not about rules. It's about relationships. Oh, so you guys have heard that one too, right? How many of you know that's not entirely an honest statement? Right? Am I right, Pat? It's not really honest, is it? Because while it is about relationship, every healthy relationship has rules. Amen? Every healthy relationship. And you're thinking, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Okay, men, let me just give you a scenario here. You go home tonight and your wife is like, oh, I'm so glad you're home. The kids are fed. Their clothes are ready to go to bed. But Frank called me from the office. He invited me to have drinks and I'm going to go hang out with him for a while. I should be home tomorrow morning before the kids get up. How many of you like, Frank is a loser and you're not going anywhere near Frank, right? Why is that? And you drop the bomb on your wife like that and she's like, honey, our marriage isn't about rules. It's about relationship. How many of you know that doesn't fly right there? It does. Here's the thing. Rules, there are rules in marriage. Am I right? You can't make up your own, and I know our world has gone absolutely nuts. People are making up their own rules. You don't got to do that. You don't got to do that. You can have however many partners you want. Well, no, you're not going to have a blessed relationship, all right? We got to follow God's way. Your marriage is not going to be blessed. I mean, it's one woman, one man. We don't break the rules. We don't get to reestablish the rules, and, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. Now, we live in a broken society. We know that. So we know marriages fall apart, but how many of you know that was never God's plan? And I think the statistic, it's still a little over 50% of marriages end in divorce, and that's sad. But you know, they did a survey and they said the number one reason 75% of individuals and couples cited there was a lack of commitment, either from one partner or both partners. How many of you know if one person is all in and committed, that's not going to make it if the other one's not? Right? It takes both sides. And you're like, well, you know what? We had a marriage breakup because of abuse. How many of you know that's true? But if somebody is abusing their spouse, how many of you know, bottom line is they're not really committed to them. So commitment is the issue. Whether you commit with abuse with your words or physically, money is a big issue that people break up over and get divorced over. But the reality is I have yet to meet a marriage that never struggled with money issues. Right? So if money broke you up, Colleen and I have had plenty of money issues. Raise your hand if you ever had a money issue in your marriage, right? Hands are up everywhere. But the deal is, if you're really committed to each other, you work through that, right? You work through that, and you get to the other side of it, and just keep trusting God. Infidelity, that's a big thing. You know, that happens all the time, but if that happens, that's an identifier that the one person was not committed to their spouse. That's why that happened. And that's what happens when we live by our own rules. Oh, I'm just going to do whatever feels right. I'm going to do whatever sounds good. No, the bottom line is that there are rules in relationship, and they actually do matter. You can't just come to God, and I've heard this. I've heard this a couple times at the fair this week. Well, I just like to serve God in my own way. Anybody ever hear that? I don't like to do that. I like to do it my own way. How many of you know we don't get to determine to God how we're going to serve Him? He's the one that establishes how to come to Him, right? He's the one that makes the rules, and so we don't just get to do it our way. We got to do it His way. I mean, here's the reality. It's His way or the highway, right? And the highway you're getting on is not a good one, so you don't want to go that way, amen? So we need to realize that God, we need to follow You. Just like traffic laws. I know not everybody always likes them, but could you imagine if there were none? Especially driving in traffic, lights, everybody went. I mean, just go to a third world country sometimes where there's like very little to none, amen? And it's like, you don't want to do that anymore. But we are safer. Here's the thing that we don't realize is that God's commandments, they're not a place, they're not creating a prison in our life. Like, oh man, I can't do that. Oh man, I can't do that. God put them there for protecting us. Does that make sense? God has those in there to protect us, those commands in our life. And if we understand that and we walk according to that, then we walk in the protection of God. Amen? Because let me tell you, this world will eat you for lunch. Amen. It's true. So God put him there. I love what Psalms 1:1 says. It says, blessed, I love that first word, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Right? The wicked are going to tell you, oh, do this and do that, and all of this is okay. Don't listen to those rules. Those are so old. You know what? I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the wicked. I'm not going to stand in the way of sinner or sit in the seat of mocker, because I want to be the blessed man. What does he say he does? Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's like, you know what? I'm not listening to you. I'm sticking my fingers in my ear, la, la, la. I don't want to hear it, but I want to hear what God has to say. Because if we do that, we will be blessed. Your relationships will be blessed. Everything. Let me say, when we live a life, our whole life, God's way, we are blessed people. Amen? We are blessed. And I can just say, I'm a blessed man today. And it's not because I'm smarter than anybody else, because I'm not. It's not because I'm better than anybody else, because I'm not. And it's not because I'm lucky. Anybody ever hear that? Oh, you're just so lucky you got this happening in your life. I don't believe luck has anything to do with it. I think blessed has everything to do with it. Amen? And it's because of a decision I made in August of 1984. I decided to live God's way and not my way. I made that decision. I was 18, and was I 18? 18 or 19 years old? No, I was 18 at that point. And I decided, God, I'm going to follow after you. I don't want to keep going my own way anymore. Now, here's the thing, and some of you guys have heard this. I wasn't raised going to church, but in September of 1982, I actually gave my life to the Lord. But for 2 years, I wanted to serve God, but I wanted to do it my way, right? I'm like, I got my rules, God, but I still love you. I still went to church occasionally. I still raised my hand in worship, but I was still doing it my way. And let me tell you, that was two of the most miserable years of my life, right? Because I'm like trying to serve God, but I'm still doing mine. In August that year, I finally said, okay, God, I stop. I give up. I'm going to follow your way. I'm going to go your direction. And 3 months later, while I was in Bible college, let me tell you, it was a crazy spin in my life. But I want to tell you, that's why I believe I'm blessed today. Not because, like I said, I'm not better than anybody. I'm not better than anyone. Colleen and I, when we got married, we chose to say, we're going to live life by God's rule. We're going to do what he wants. When we had kids, we committed to raise them to the best of our, and we weren't perfect parents. Ask her kids. Don't ask for any details, but you can ask them. It's like, we were not perfect parents, and nobody is. Nobody is. So you do the best you can. You try to raise them up. And I believe my desire in this series is to create an appetite in you to love and to delight in God's word. And the laws that he has, they're not a burden. Friends, listen, they're not a burden to you, but they become a blessing in your life, and they will lead you into a blessed life. Amen? Amen? Now, here's the thing. Let me just give you real quick. The commandments are broken down into two parts. They're deals with our vertical relationship and our horizontal relationship, and we will get through all of them eventually. And I do want to say this. I'm not going to cover them in order, all right, because some of you are going to like, I'm going to miss that week. Right? You're going to be surprised each week. I don't want you to look ahead and like, oh, next week he's talking about this. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. You'll have to find out. But anyway, the first four commandments have to deal with our relationship with God. And there's important lessons that we will learn in each of those. The other six commandments have to deal with our relationship with other people. And we can grab a hold of each one of those. I love how Jesus summarized all 10 of these commandments basically into two. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Oh, that was not it. I thought I put it in there. And all your strength. And he also says to love your what? Your neighbor. So, like I said, they're not going to be in order. You're not going to want to miss it, because I believe when you walk away, you'll walk away with a different understanding of the commandments, maybe than you've ever had before. And not walking around in guilt and like, oh man, I blew that one, right? Oh, I blew that one. No, but an encouragement to say, hey, listen, I can do this. There's importance. And the theme of this is 1 John 5:3. John wrote, loving God means doing what? Keeping his commandments. And his commandments, again, are not burdensome. And you know, here's the thing. There's such a misunderstanding of what it means to love God. We talk to a lot of people, oh, I love God, I love God, but yet they're not keeping his commandments. Is that even possible? Because we can love God with our words, but what of our actions? If we're not following his commands, then we're not really loving him. Think about your parents. You know, parents, you know, and you got kids. If your parents lay down some rules in the house and you constantly disobey it and you go against that, is that really showing any love to your parents? No, it's totally disrespect, and we do that all the time. So, like I said, I'm not here to bring anyone shame or condemnation. I want you to have hope because Jesus said this, that he has come that we would live an abundant lifestyle. But that abundant lifestyle is only found in his way. We can't take it and apply it the way we want. So the goal of the Christian life, it's not about being legalistic. It's about love. And the reality is the more you love God, the more you love him, the greater you're going to want to obey. You're going to want to follow that. So that's the 10 weeks. Today I'm just going to cover the first one. And I'm going to do that probably in about 15 minutes. So you guys get ready for me to unload this. But the first command is really just summed up, God first. You'll have no other gods before me. That is my desire. If people see me, I want them to say, man, Pastor Scott, he lives a God first life. All that other stuff is important in his life, but God is number one. It says it like this in Exodus, you shall have no other gods before me, right? That's a key word there, before. Because when we think of gods, we're not thinking necessarily about idols or anything like that, but it's the things that we put before God that may not be considered an idol, but it's still something that we have put before him. And this was important for God to speak to the Israelites because, like I said a minute ago, they came out of Egypt, which was, let me just say this slowly, polytheistic culture, which means that they had, poly means many, theist, gods. And how many of you know there's another word we use that has that poly in it, politics? Right? Some of you guys have heard this, poly meaning many and ticks meaning bloodsuckers. Right? So I know that's bad. It always cracks me up. But polytheistic means you have a lot of gods. Let me tell you, there are people in politics that are not bloodsuckers, and that's who we want in office. Am I right? Amen? It's just hard for them once to get there not to morph into a tick. So we need to pray for our elected officials. Amen? Whatever side of the aisle they're on, we need to pray for them. Wow, I just got myself off base here. So let's go. So God is trying to bring them from polytheistic to being monotheistic, meaning we serve one God. And I believe that invitation is for the Israelites into the reality. Hey, listen, guys, there's only one God. This is all you get. And for them to ever worship him, they had to get out of that culture there. And in America, we may say, hey, listen, we're not polytheistic here. But how many of you know, we probably are more than you realize. There's more things that we put ahead of God, whether it's social media, the gods we make out of people, music stars, movie stars. We can put our family as a god. Right? You ever think that? It's like a family should be important, but if your family comes before your relationship with God, how many of you know there can be a problem there? So we have to think about that. There should only be one God in our life. And in Exodus, like I said earlier, when Moses brought the Ten Commandments down, they were worshiping an idol. Right? And it's like he threw them down and they ground it up. They had to drink all. It was kind of gross. But God basically said this, you must worship no other gods. For the Lord, whose very name is jealous, is a God who is jealous about his relationship with you. And a lot of people, let me tell you, the word jealous there is not the way we think about it, petty, bitter, you know, thing. Oh, man, I'm jealous. You got that bigger piece of cake than I got. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about loyalty. God wants our loyalty. How many of you, you know, if you're a husband, how many of you want to be the only husband of your wife? If you're a wife, how many of you want to be the only wife of your husband? We're not playing none of that sister wife stuff here. You know, nobody really wants that. Jesus is the bride. The scripture says he's the bride, the bridegroom. The church is the bride. How many of you know he doesn't want a bride that is messing around with other things? So God is first in our life, and he's jealous for a relationship with you and I. He wants that exclusivity with us, not to share us with anybody else. Remember the scripture that says, you cannot serve both God and mammon? And I've talked about this before. Mammon was actually a name of another god. And so he wasn't necessarily talking about money, but it was that love of money. And so you can't do that and try to serve God at the same time. Jesus put it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these other things. God will take care of the things we chase after as long as we put him first, as long as he's number one in our life, amen? So I want to ask you a question. I want to give you three questions to evaluate if you're living a life that is God first. Number one, what is the priority of my life? What are the things that that takes precedent in my life over everything else? What is the utmost important? Like you got to actually think about that, because the priorities in our life, I don't know if you've experienced it, but they compete for first place all the time. Isn't that true? It's like, okay, you know, I can say God's first, my family is second, I mean, as a pastor, and ministry, which I really love doing. I love the church, I love you guys, but throughout the course of time, ministry likes to bump itself up ahead of my family sometimes. And if you can believe it or not, sometimes it will bump itself up ahead of my relationship with God. And we can get things out of order if we're not careful. Whether you can become a workaholic, whatever, you know, maybe you get into your hobby and as you can't wait to get home, you know, say hi to the wife, kick the dog, and go out, and I'm doing my thing, right? You get focused on that. What are the things that are most important? And so we have to live a lifestyle where we are constantly reevaluating our priorities, because this world, how many of you know the world doesn't care what your priorities are? Right? It will put everything possible in the way to mess up your priorities. So it's kind of like cleaning your closet and organizing it. How many of you have ever had to do that more than once? All right, because you got it organized. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. All the shoes are in their place and all the clothes. And then, you know, you come in over the next few weeks, kick your shoes in there, throw your clothes in there, and it's like, oh, man, I got to reorganize it. That's just how it is with our priorities. Life has a way of getting them out of whack. And so we have to take time. That's why it's so good spending time with the Lord and even coming to church, because it's like, okay, God, I'm putting you first. I'm getting my priority back on you. And God straighten. Anybody ever have God straighten out your priorities? Yeah, on a regular basis, right? So like I said, the world doesn't care. And listen, I don't want to be legalistic about this, but I want to say that church should be a priority in your life. Amen? Amen? I'm glad I got one amen. Church should be a priority in your life. Oh, that was so much better. I'm glad. Even if you just verbally agree with me, even if you don't, I appreciate that. But can I tell you, we live in a world today where church has become optional. It's optional. Well, if I don't have anything else to do, I guess I can do that. Let me go back. And listen, I'm not trying to push my convictions on anyone, but I just want to tell you that when Colleen and I first got married, we made a decision. You know what? These are our priorities, and unless there's a sickness or some unavoidable situation, or if we're on a vacation and we're in the middle of the Sahara and there's no church around, whatever the situation, we're going to make sure we're in church. And a couple of months ago, we went and visited our daughter up in Washington. Guess what we did when Sunday came? We went to church, right? We went to her church. It's just how it was. A few weeks ago for our anniversary, guess what? We went to Reno and then down to Tahoe, but we went to church while we were in Reno. I mean, they need it, right? So they needed extra prayer there. But here, we just do that. I mean, and our family knows that. It's like when we're on vacation, we still want to connect wherever we're at. Even if I don't know anybody in the church, I want to worship God with other brothers and sisters. Amen? So that was, and my family, I think my mom and dad are probably watching, and they know this is true. Even when our kids were little, when family came visited us, You realize it's like, well, on Sunday we go to church. This, we weren't even in the ministry. I was in the army at the time. On Sunday we go to the church. You can either come with us or we'll be back in a couple hours. That was just kind of how we chose to live our life, because I have found this to be true, that everything in our life will compete for priority. It constantly does. And if I'm going to live a God-first life, I've got to consciously make those decisions, because here's the reality. There's a lot of gods, and I say that as a little g, things that we put ahead of God. They're not necessarily bad things. How many of you know your family's not a bad thing? Well, maybe most of you guys, right? So your family's not a bad thing, but the good things that just sometimes get wrongly prioritized. And I want to make sure that I keep God number one, whether it's family, work, hobby, whatever it is, putting a higher priority on things or on people before God. That's how we begin to put things before God. And so we have, you know, and so you can ask yourself questions. All right, God, what is the most important in my life? What are the things that I think about? What is more exciting about than anything else? When you first get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? All right, what's other than like maybe going to the bathroom and then thinking about it? So that's my first thought getting up. Anybody else? Come on, let's be honest here. What do you dream about? So he says, have no other gods before me. No other gods. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. How many of you know, if we can really grab a hold of that, that's powerful. And then it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And I got the word acknowledge there because sometimes people's idea of acknowledging God is coming to God and say, hey, God, good to see you this morning. This is what I'm doing today. Great, I acknowledge you. I'm out of here. How many of you know that's just telling God what you're going to do? The word itself to acknowledge means to basically bring it before God and say, God, here's my plans. Out of my understanding, this is what I'm planning on doing. God, what do you think about this? I'm bringing it before you, and then you allow God to say either yes or no, or maybe a little bit different, or maybe not now, or whatever the situation. But to acknowledge him means, God, I'm bringing my plans to you. I'm bringing my ideas, my career, the person you might date, whatever the situation. Lord, I'm bringing them before you, and I need direction in this situation. And if you'll do that, what's the promise? He's going to make your path what? If you lean on your own understanding, guarantee it's going to be crooked. Anybody face the crooked path because you did it your own way, all right? Absolutely. There's two times in the in Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but it only leads to death. So if you can live your life by your own and what seems right, but let me tell you, the end, and there's a lot of testimonies in this room. I am as well. Don't do it your way. Follow God, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So I've just realized that when I've put God first, everything else in my life is blessed. Number two, what's the other questions? What do I worship? Everybody worships things that, you know, in their heart that has their attention. Do you realize that God actually created us to worship? Amen? And here's the problem. When we don't have God in our life, then we have that thing, and we're going to worship something. Whether, like I said, your car, your whatever it is, sports team, right? Some people are way too over the top on that. Anybody ever see somebody that's, you know, how many of you guys have a dog or a cat and you really love it? Right, so I'm not dissing that because I really love my dog. I like him. You know, even though he's kind of ugly right now, he's got one tooth and his tongue hangs out. But I still love my dog. And I always say this is proof that dogs don't have lips, because once their teeth are gone, their just tongue hangs out. So, but I still love my dog. But have you ever met somebody that's a little bit too much in love with their dog? They walk around and the face is on their shirt, right? They got earrings hanging of their dog. You go in their house, every photo in their house is of their dog. And it's like, how many of you know that's a little too much, right? Something is wrong there. I've seen the same with people, sometimes people with Disneyland. Everything is Disney. Every shirt they've got, it's got Mickey Mouse on it. And it's like, dude, calm down, right? But we put things ahead of God because God's not in the picture. So I've got to find something else that I love. Find something else that it's important. Exodus 8:1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and announce to him. Check this out. This is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they can worship me. God had to pull them out of that society to get them to a place where they would focus on him. And God does that as us and ours will. Listen, there's a lot of things in your life that should get your attention, but how many of you know they should never have your worship? Amen? Like my grandkids, I think you guys hang around me long enough, you're going to hear about it. They get my attention all the time, but guess what? They never get my worship. My wife has my attention. She doesn't have my worship, and I do love her. Freedom Church, you guys get my attention, but I'm not going to worship you. It's not going to happen. My finances, you better let your finances get a little bit of your attention, amen? But you're not going to worship them. And listen, I'm just going to say this because I got a Dallas Cowboy cup this morning from my kids. At this point, the Dallas Cowboys barely get my attention. Right? I'm just saying that. And you guys that have been here a while, you know how hard that is. But it's like, they're never going to get my worship. I'm going to tell you what. So what do we worship? How do we worship God? I'm just going to give a real quick time that just by being here today, do you realize that you guys worship God? Just by coming, because you gave up your time to be right here, to worship God, to learn, to hug other people. That is an act of worship. How you listen is an act of worship. The talents, whatever God has given you the ability to do. And listen, some of those talents are displayed in the church. Sometimes they're in the community. Sometimes it's with your work and the things that you choose to do. And then your treasure. Those are part of your how we worship, you know? Whatever gets my money, let me tell you, that's what I worship. If it's all in my, if I pour it all in my car, let me tell you, I don't want to worship my car. It's going to rust out in a few years anyway, right? So last one real quick. What do I love? And Timothy, you can come up. Because we do love a lot of things, don't we? This cracked me up this last week. Anybody watch American Idol? Some of you guys? We kind of like it. We fast forward some acts because they're ridiculous. But some of them are pretty good. But I was just watching this last week, and one of the people yelled out to one of the judges, I love you. And she yelled back, I love you too. And I'm like, you have no idea who each one of you are. You don't love them. You might love the money that they throw your way, right? But we just throw that word around. And I hear people all the time, oh, I love God. I love God. I love God. Let me tell you, you're saying it with your mouth, but that's no different than what Isaiah said to Israel in Isaiah 29. He says, these people come near me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but what? Yeah, their hearts are far from me. I don't know about you, but I take that serious. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be up here just saying I love you, proclaiming the gospel. Ooh, you're the pastor. You're doing all that stuff. If my heart is from God, listen, I can say anything with my lips. Amen. And I hear people say stuff, oh, I love God. But remember what we said earlier? To love God means to obey his commandment. So these are things that we have to take serious. Jesus summed it up, and I do have it this time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's the first commandment. So how do I love God? How do I love him? Do I just make a decision one day? I'm going to wake up, man, God, today I'm going to love you more than I did yesterday. Is it that easy? That would be great if it was, but I don't know how you do that. I can't just like, you know, with my wife, hey, listen, I'm going to love you more today than I did yesterday. How we begin to love God more is that we get to know him more. Does that make sense? When I got married to my wife, I loved her. I did. I wouldn't have got married if I didn't. But I can tell you after 36 years, I love her more now than I did then. And you know why? It's because I've gotten to know her more and more. And that's how it is with God. How do I get to love God more? You're not just going to let me put on the right music, right? Let me go. You know, you can't just love God more out of the blue. You've got to actually get to know him more. That's why it's important to get into God's word. And I believe this to be true. The amount of knowledge of God that you have in your life is a direct proportion to how much you love him. Amen. And I'm not just talking about knowledge from here. I'm talking about knowledge right here. So that's why it's important to get into God's Word. That's why it's important to show up at church. To get involved in one of our life groups is so important. Listen, if you could just decide, God, I'm going to do it, then we wouldn't need any of this. But Jesus said this in 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. The only way I can love Him is because I get to know His love even more. And the more I begin to know Him, the more that I see how much He loves me, the more times that I fail and realize that He is still loving me, even in spite of that, it just makes me love Him even more. And like I said a minute ago, my desire in this series is not to give you a bunch of rules, but to get you to know God a little bit more so that you begin to fall in love with Him even more. Amen? Can I have everybody stand? I asked Timothy to come up and sing this song, and you may know it. You know, it's How He Loves Us. And this is my desire for you. As you just kind of listen to these words, I want you to think about how much God loves you. And I'm going to come up afterwards, and we're going to pray. Listen, after that, if you need prayer, you can come up. But right now, can we turn the lights down, Randy? I want you to walk away with realizing how much God loves you. Amen?
by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean we're all seeking, so heaven meets earth like an obscene kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves me. And oh, how he loves me. And oh, how you love me. Oh, how you love me.
Lord, my prayer today is that each of us would begin to understand even more, Lord, that great love that you have for us. Lord, amidst all of the stuff that goes on in this world, Lord, let us dive down into that ocean. Lord, let us discover how wide and how deep and how high and how deep your love is for us. Lord, I understand that each of us only have a glimpse. But Lord, the more we draw close to you, the more we understand, the Lord, more we begin to love. And so, Lord, that's my prayer for each one here. Lord, those that may be watching online, Lord God, as we draw near to you, your word says this, that you will draw near to us. Lord, let us draw near. And Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray your blessing over each one today as we go about our day. Lord God, let us walk in the blessing and in the knowledge of your love. In your mind.